Right, I'm going to make that window smaller. And by the way, anybody who's tuned back into this feed that was that we listened to the was watching the previous feed. Sorry about that. That was Kirby's fault.
No, it wasn't.
I figured
your nearest
fault.
Kirby, I believe if you look at the contract, it says you are the official 20 megabyte scapegoat. So it means you have to take the place.
Speaking of contract, check recording levels.
You donut. All right, go on then. Say something. It's
something,
recording,
something.
So that's a good
la,
thing.
La, 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 la. Spoiler music.
Right, okay. Okay, we can sort of start. I'm just going to close that little window down there. And... Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 519. Team? We've got a team today. I'm Adam and Lord of Time. That's part of what they said. I couldn't remember the other part of the quote. And here, you won't believe this, my God, it's Kirsty Bissett.
Oh, that's all right. Just us girls.
Yeah.
Very appropriate. Talking of girls, it's Debbie Melrose.
Pyrovile.
And I thought my voice was deep.
Are we trade parts here?
I think Debbie might require a lozenge after that.
I would definitely like to trade some parts if anyone's.
Oh, God. And Mary Lang.
Hang on a minute. Are we in Epcot?
And Ben Shoveler.
Right, I've got an issue immediately. I mean, for the last, 6 weeks, in the introductions, I've been settings after you. Kirsty turns up.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
I've been bamboozled.
Be first.
I'm cuter.
Yeah.
I used to be first, and I haven't been called upon yet.
Oh,
and you are?
You are?
Anyway, I watched the episode yesterday, and whilst watching it, I wrote down some quotes. My handwriting's not very good, so here's the one I wrote down. Doctor, you... Oh, no,
<it's a> Doctor, you can't!
Do you know what? Yeah. When I read that a minute ago, I thought that's a bit racy for a children's TV program. Anyway, the one I'll go with is... You fought her off with a water pistol. I bloody love you.
That has to be another one of mine, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of mine too.
Oh, Don.
I bloody love you.
Oh, thanks, Deb. Oh, that's sweet.
Well, I hugged you, didn't I?
Oh, no, I hugged you. You just stood there. And
That's most understandable. Actually, the understandable bit isn't why she ran away.
No, that's the most... what's the other word, the opposite of understandable?
Non-understandable.
Obscure.
Contra-understandable.
Not understandable.
Obscure.
Inunderstandable. Anyway.
Inunderstandable. Understandable.
Yeah. A load of codswallop.
Yeah. Is the fact that Debbie came on the show after that.
Arky.
Yeah.
Bullfrog.
Oh, that's not the right song.
Bullfrog?
That's Jack and Diane. No, it wasn't.
That's it, too. Let's try this one.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, no, that's right. Yeah, I was trying to put the Romeo and Juliet bit for sad music. No, that's not going to work. Remember the music that Simon Bates used to play over the hour tune? That bit of music there. That's the one, yeah.
Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, no, it's Romeo and Juliet. Maybe it's this one.
It's not.
No, that's pretty. No, it can't be that one. Because I wanted to... I wanted to use that for when Kirby does his sad story. How about this one? That's the same one. Anyway, Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Sorry, me no speak Celtic. No can do, Missy.
That's not it either.
You must remember this. A kiss is not a kiss.
A sigh is still a sigh.
I don't think that's the right piece of music.
I am Spartacus.
Fundamental things apply.
I was amazed you hit to this whole thing and no Spartacus.
I'm Spartacus.
That's the apprentice theme.
I'm Spartacus, and so is my wife.
Hey. Welcome to the Monty Python.
Yeah, dear, he did Monty Python. Superb. Oh dear. Right then. So here we are. We're going to talk about the fires of Pompeii in a minute. But first of all,
that's
Mary.
I had a quote from that.
Mary, come on.
Oh, did I do not? I thought we did the. Somebody must have put me off. Oh God.
Mary did hers.
Mary, sorry. Sorry,
so I gave
Mary.
My quote. So
you've done your quote. Who haven't I done then?
Yeah, mine was, hang on a minute, are we in Epcot?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't done me, sweetie, but we'll get there.
We did do you first.
You're not catching my drift, sweetie.
Thankfully, that's the only thing he's not thinking.
Oh, God.
It was a mistake, I'm sorry.
Good, I do love that. I'm going to cherish that moment, Deb. What's this song here?
I don't think that's the right one either.
No, it's called All the Gravy. I thought that would be quite interesting where you're northern. I thought you might quite like talking
about. Well, that's my new theme song then, All the Gravy.
Anyway, yeah, so the skeleton in the closet, they say, is this story that has come out through one of the Doctor Who feeds that David Tennant is going to be cast as the next Doctor. Let me finish the story first, Kirby. What?
Did somebody say that about 2 months ago?
Right, let me finish.
You can have a listen back to the podcast.
No one denies you said it. However, I just want to say what they're saying, that David Tennant's going to be cast as the next Doctor for three specials. He's not playing the Doctor as the 10th Doctor, he's the 14th Doctor, different interpretation. Can't see how it would be that much different to myself, but there you go. Different interpretation, and then he'll get done in and regenerate into the... Where are we now? 14th? 15th Doctor. So maybe my theory that the Doctor will eventually get to be played by Michael Sheen might actually come to fruition, because that's
like to see him as the Doctor.
Yeah, Michael Sheen would be great. Yeah.
So there you go. That's that. What does everybody think?
I don't believe it. Not at all.
Kirby doesn't believe it. Kirsty, what do you think?
I prefer he came back as his Doctor, but they pull in another couple of Doctors and they are trying to safeguard the regeneration stalled out, and it looks like the Watcher or whatever, you know, wrapped in stuff. And,
you've got so much imagination.
And they go through like two or three adventures safeguarding the Doctor's body.
So instead of the flux, that would be Doctor Who flicks, because he's flicking through Doctors. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
But, thank you very much.
it's flukes. You have to say it right. Flukes.
No, it's flux. Flukes,
mate.
Floss.
No, that's to do with dental care, doesn't it? All right, that's what Kirby thinks. Mary, what did you think?
Well, I also read a thing where Davies wants to do the 60th anniversary as a collection of like short story things, which would include, you know, the past Doctors.
Okay.
So not like one cohesive story, but, you know.
Ben thinks I told you so, so you don't have to go to Ben.
Bring Perry back.
Ah, yes. Well, there was a thing about Perry in the news.
There was a thing about Perry. There's been photographs of her around,
around what? We've already talked about her around some things, haven't we?
Oh, I thought you guys were talking about the trailer for the TV set.
Yeah, I mean, that was filmed in the Temple of Peace.
I know. I was like, oh my God, she's in Cardiff.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So right. So who haven't we spoken to? Ben. No, so we know what you're going to say. Like I say, it's
just happened to be there, or what?
As I said, I did kind of point that out that would probably happen, because once you start bringing back old people, then the other ones tend to follow. It might only be for a short time, as you've just said, but. Oh, who wouldn't love to see a couple more seasons as Tennant? But Tennant
it's definitely not
going to
be a couple of more seasons. They were talking about three specials. Bit like how
Baker back as the Doctor series. For a couple more seasons.
What? Series.
Dear. I personally.
The thing is, why isn't it on Doctor Who News? Because that's what makes me.
I know, because it's Doctor Who hearsay at the moment, so that's why.
Well, I think it would be fun to have him back, because I'd quite like to see Russell.
Oh, I'd love to have him back.
Going no.
I'd like to have him back as a multi Doctor story.
This is how you do it. Do it right this time. Thank you.
Anyone's
is known for regathering favorite people and.
I have a brilliant idea. And it's a much, much better idea than getting Ollie Alexander to be the Doctor.
Yeah, maybe so. He ain't got time anyway, he's too busy. Yes, Kirsty.
Good. The perfect idea is David Tennant does come back.
Yeah.
But as a villain, he comes back.
Oh, I like that one. As the Master. The Valiard. Oh, that's a great one, yes.
No. The Valiard.
Oh, the Valiard. Oh, yeah. I like that one too.
10, basically.
What about K-9? K-9. What about
Chewbacca? Oh, dear, bless you. Have you got COVID?
I actually did have COVID last
night. Not you. Ben just sneezed.
Oh, I wish you did. I don't wish you did.
On the live feed, we've got Lillian Robbins says, get on with it. Get on with what? We're trying to do a podcast there. And then,
shut up.
Before that, hi.
Quite heartily, you know.
Right, so that's
our. We did what?
Anybody want to pipe up about this new theory on the next Doctor before I move on to Fires of Pompeii? No, good. Right, let's move on to Fires of Pompeii, which begins. With the Doctor welcoming Donna to ancient Rome, which she then, of course, said was New Rome because they're now there. Actually, it didn't look very new, to be fair. Did actually look quite
old. It already looked kind of ancient.
Yeah. It's an excellent set, seeing that it was used for the Rome miniseries.
Anyway, so
Rome was always old.
Yeah. He takes her through these little streets of markets and stuff, and she didn't mark on how smelly it was because it would have been very smelly. Considering what Romans used as washing. Yeah.
And all the chickens.
What have the Romans ever done for us?
Used urine as a detergent for starters.
Apart from the sewers.
Yeah. That stop the Monty Python quotes. Anyway, so she's really excited and gives them a hug. And then, what?
No, I can never stop Monty Python quotes.
Oh, be quiet. And of course, they cover the fact that she can't quite believe they are where they are because there's English writing and stuff like that. So we go through the TARDIS translation thingy, and then
yeah, I have problems with that.
Do you now?
What yeah.
Really, Kirby? You no?
What?
I can't. No, say it. Yeah, I just never got it.
All right, okay. Yeah. I'm going to give you 30 seconds, Kirby. Hang on, let's find my timer.
No.
To tell me what?
Never mind.
Oh, okay. Right, and then
what about the aqueduct?
And then that bird off the Marvel films appears to be watching them from afar.
Education.
And so they carry on walking, and then they sort of have a little tour around, trying to work out what sort of place they're in. And eventually, after still being watched by that bird from the Marvel films, they walk out, and they obviously that's pictured to see the seven hills of Rome, but they see the one smouldering mountain of Vesuvius, and they soon realise it's, as they said in the programme, Volcano Day. And they sort of start running back through the streets. But unfortunately, to cut a story long, or the other way around, longer story short, because after we see that bird from the Marvel films going in to see her friends in the Sisterhood of Khan. Yes?
If you say that once more, I am going to drive down to Portsmouth, get on the hovercraft, pay however much it costs, drive across on the ocean, drive to your house, punch you in the face. Stop saying Karen Gillan, the Marvel girl. We know. Tell us if you've met her. Because that would be the kind of thing you should point out in a podcast to do with Doctor Who, if you've met the characters in it. Have you ever met Karen Gillan?
No.
Jeez, am I in a bad mood?
I have nothing against her, but I don't like her.
I nearly met her once, yes.
Master, I have a theory.
Hang on before you say about the theory. I've just got to get the timer ready. You've got 30 seconds.
Right. You have a theory.
Hang on. Where is it? Oh, we go. Right, starting now.
Angels in Manhattan. I believe that the Angels, instead of sending Amy back to with Rory, that they actually sent her back here. And she got with the future doctor, and he had another TARDIS sitting around someplace, and then he took her to Rory later.
Adam, stop the timer, continue the podcast.
Really, yeah. That's about...
Stephen
Moffat would be absolutely thrilled with that theory, because that's exactly the sort of theory he'd come up with. What? It's wibbly wobbly timey wimey and charming.
What do you think?
It's charming and romantic.
We already know that she and Rory go back in time together, and she writes a book, and you know all that kind of stuff. So your theory is full of holes.
No. What he's saying is
do not hold back, Mary.
They're back in time, and then gets brought back to. Hang on, but she was a little girl when she met the 11th Doctor.
Yes, we've seen them all.
And then she went all funny over the raggedy... can we go back to this episode? I'm not sure about that one.
Distracted. Just because she's in it doesn't mean she's anything to do with Amy.
But wasn't she in the Marvel films at one point?
Just because the 12th Doctor is in it doesn't mean she has anything to do with the 12th Doctor.
Okay. Right, anyway, so the sister...
Do we have a vote on whether we should exclude Kirby's theory from the podcast?
I'm glad we've got it on there for the records, you know. I think that's it's interesting. I reckon you could write a little Big Finish story about that, Kirby. But at the moment, we're going to go back to Fires of Pompeii. Yeah.
Is a Big Finish story.
Yes. She goes back to the Sisters of Khan, and they just bathe in the Elixir of Life.
Who goes back?
The bird off the Marvel films. I can't remember.
You go back.
Hang on.
I'm just trying to make you say that again so that...
I can't remember her name. God's sake, carry on.
Right. My ticket's booked.
Ticket's booked. Bloody hell, it can't possibly. That's very unrealistic. You were able to get the ticket booked that quickly, knowing full well what White Lincoln Red Funnels, their sites are like.
You're not allowed off.
Adam, yes. This is a science fiction fantasy reality TV show.
Well, it is when you try travelling on the Isle of Wight ferries.
Yeah.
I've had no problem. I'll see in about 50 minutes.
That is even more outlandish.
50 minutes?
Right, anyway. Okay, right. So I'm back to where I was. Nebula goes back to see the Sisterhood of Khan.
Oh, for God's sake, just let the lady get back to the sister.
I don't know what her name is in this story. I'm not going to say Karen Gillan. She's an actress playing a part.
She doesn't have a name as far as I know.
I'll stick with Nebula then, because it's obviously Nebula before she went all robotic. Right, sorry.
We've been doing this for half an hour.
The Asian girl, the Asian girl who talks very, very sort of like this sort of... I've seen her in something else, and I can't think what it is. It's probably one of those dramas like Line of Duty or something like that. Anyway, they start panicking.
Did you have a photo sighting with her?
I'm sure Kirby would look it up.
No, if I'd known who she was, I may well have done. Anyway,
don't know what you're talking about.
The Asian lady who's sort of like in charge of the rest of the Sisterhood of Khan. No one's corrected me about the Sisterhood of Khan bit yet.
Asian lady.
But being Asian, yeah.
Well, she may look Asian because they've painted all sorts of sort of war paints all over. Oh, never mind. I wish I hadn't really mentioned it now.
Are you becoming racist, Adam?
No, because she is Asian. Oh, shut up. Anyway, so the Doctor and Donna are panicking through the streets of Pompeii.
Used to be panicking through.
Even
anywhere,
more so when they find that the TARDIS has disappeared because that Cockney bloke has sold it.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
Oh dear. And he got 25 sestri or something like that. I can't remember what he said. Something...
I sold it, didn't I? It's on my patch.
So I don't understand Celt. Which I quite like that sort of. They think you're Welsh, which is rather like ironic because that's what Ben's sort of accents often sound like. Have you actually do a Welsh accent, Ben?
Can I do a Welsh accent?
A proper one, because every time you do an accent, it sounds Welsh. I wonder what your Welsh accent sounds like.
Are you talking about the High Priestess?
I think she might have been. Not the one that's made of stone, the one that's hidden behind the
veil. Yeah, the high priestess who's not the one made of stone. Yeah.
Victoria Wick, she is not Asian.
She might have Asian ancestry.
So wait, who's supposed to be stoned?
Me! Oh my
goodness. She's only, the actress is only 6 months older than I am.
What? It can't be her. Oh, shut
that's
up.
Not
let
the
me
right
get on with
one. No. That's not
Are you talking
point.
About the one who turned out to be made of stone?
No, that's Vanessa Redgrave, isn't it? Can we get back to Doctor Who? Right,
there you're talking about Victoria Wicks, the High Priestess.
No, we're talking about the other lady then, because that's obviously not the right person.
The one with the most to say. She had the most lines.
Yeah, she was doing.
She was the gobby one.
The second command, then, obviously not the High Priestess.
Good way to put it.
If I had time to scroll through this video and find out the cast and who that actress was, I'd let you know at the moment. We've got the number 12 is now wearing Roman garb and has bought the TARDIS. Isn't that ironic, everybody?
And not only that, it's art.
Yeah.
My Welsh accent's bad. You won't hear it.
another Monty... Well, not Monty Python, a Fawlty Towers reference, which two.
So we meet the family of 12, and then there's a bit of a rumble and earthquake, and they sort of say thanks to their households, etc., etc.
I appreciated your Cleese reference.
Oh, sure. We'll talk about Cleese later on, because I watched a film with him on Friday.
Master?
I nearly got to the fact that the daughter of the family has become a bit of a sort of sightseer. Not sightseer, it's a foreseer. What do you call it? Someone who can see into the future. Soothsayer.
Soothsayer.
Yes.
Soothsayer.
I nearly got it right.
Could you say that the...
he was a sightseer. Well, she was at Vesuvius. I mean, there's probably quite a lot to see around there.
Sorry to interrupt.
Dan Chiquet's away. Another day.
Sorry, you were trying to say something, Mary.
Yeah, somebody even dropped it. Get a word in, Mary.
Mary every time.
Poor oh, Mary got buried under that.
I do love the way she went, oh, golly.
Master?
Yep.
Where when they have the minor earthquake and they run around holding things.
Yes.
That is a direct reference to when the... In Mary Poppins, when the cannon next door goes off, and all go places.
Terry Miles says she's called Soothsayer. Ah, very good, Terry. That means
what's
I can
her
look
surname?
Up the actress's name.
Well, I have Sasha Behar. Is that who you said was...
What's her name? What's her name? Sasha...
Sasha Behar.
Oh, I spelled Sasha wrong.
It's Rena. And wasn't she the, the High Priestess, not the one made of rock?
How do you spell the surname?
B-E-S-U-R-N-A-M-E.
Sasha Behar, there she is.
I beat you to it, Kirby, I'm sorry.
Well, she certainly is Asian. I do apologise, but she was in Coronation Street. That's where I saw her from.
She
was born in 1971. She still looks pretty good. Well, she's been in loads of stuff.
How are you still married?
Is she still married? Let's have a look.
How are you still married? Sit there and kind of like get a little bit knocked off
with
the fact that every girl you see,
Jamie
you go,
Glover.
She's pretty.
She's pretty.
Oh, she's all right.
Well, I never say four, she's all right. How dare you? Well, maybe a couple of times. There's been loads of stuff. Luther as well. Back to
you
Doctor
do Luther?
Me. Yeah. What?
You were, so, what?
That's just in Fireman Sam.
Luther in the shower.
Hey?
Oh, I thought he meant like the TV program Luther. I thought he was having something with what's his name who plays him.
Anyway, so the girl of the family is seeing things into the future while the Doctor and Donna are still panicking because they're stuck in an inevitable disaster. Most of this, I'm trying to skip through this as fast as possible because I know that I'm going to get held up somewhere along the line.
Master.
So, the Doctor...
Master.
Yes. It's a race Master. Against time.
It is. The Doctor and Donna arrive...
Master.
Yes, what? Yes. Thank you.
Carry on.
Yeah, I know. arrive at number 12. So, 10 is now met number 12. And they have a little conversation and introduce each other and have another little conversation. And then the bloke who played Steptoe in that drama about Steptoe and Son sort of walks in. He looks like he's got a broken arm. He's got his cape across his arm. Oh, and he hasn't actually got a broken arm. He's just got Master? A stone arm. Yes.
The character's name means stone right hand.
Thank you.
Well,
Kirby.
That's a giveaway, that, isn't it? If you know that.
Actually, it means stone right arm.
Thank you, Mary.
Oh, out-pedented.
Yeah, really. You know, you gotta be ready,
Mary,
when you're dealing
Mary,
with
Mary, you could have pre-warned me that, and I've been I could have done a bit of that.
You gotta be on your toes when Kirby's on the show. Yeah.
With his Wikipedia up, ready to go.
I don't think he can't possibly... This information isn't available on Wikipedia. Right, where do we get to? Oh, yeah, so we meet...
So Wikipedia is now a euphemism, cool.
Get your Wikipedia down.
Anyway, that chap that...
Well, you know, all of the characters, the main people in that family, are based from the Cambridge Latin course.
They are?
Yeah, there's the first book of the Cambridge Latin course focuses on a banker named Lucius Caecilius, something I can't pronounce. His wife,
Optimus
Tella,
Meridius,
Caecilius, yeah.
Optimus Prime,
and his son Quintus. James Moran then added Evelina.
Evelina, that's the name I was trying to remember for the soothsayer. So anyway, so he's come in there and he's got this little sort of paver that grabs the doctor's interest because he's just about to leave. That looks like an electrical circuit, so that sort of makes the doctor quite interested in what's going on. And then Evelyn, whatever her name is, dobs them in by saying they are not what they seem. They are this, that, and the other, and she goes all a bit glazed.
I love that scene.
Huh?
I love that scene.
Yeah, so do I. I did notice that was slightly distracted by the bloke with the stone arm's teeth. It did seem like they could have some work done to them. And that scene goes on for a little bit.
Isn't he the same actor who killed King Uther in Merlin?
King who? King Uther? Well, that's the older one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Arthur's dad. Is that right?
Yes.
Played by oh God.
Biff Thorburn.
Bloke from Buffy. Oh God.
Uther Pendragon.
Yeah, no, but
played by Tony
Head. Anthony Head.
Anthony Head. Thank Debbie gets the point.
Who happens to? And Anthony Head is also.
We know.
If you watch the Confidentials during this period, he was doing the hosting of all the Confidentials.
Thank
we
you.
Know.
Adam, a spoiler for you.
Yeah, what we know.
Anthony Head was in series 2, episode 3.
What?
Ooh. If you want to go back in time,
we
missed it. Coffee.
And then we have a lovely scene by this sort of smoking, steamy place where that's one of the, you know, the volcanic thingy springs between 10 and 12, Kirby. I thought that was quite an exciting scenario for you to see the multiple
doctors.
Yeah, he
wasn't 12.
11
did you just say a volcano sprig?
It did sound like that, yeah.
Spring.
They're called
spring.
Fishes.
Ooh,
they're officially called fishes.
No, fishes, those are the things that you get the fish and chip shop line.
Why, thank you very much, Smarty Pants Debbie. Smarty Pants Debbie's back. I haven't got a theme tune for that.
Everybody's intelligent today except, well, for somebody.
I don't know what you're trying to imply, but I'm going to move on anyway. All right, so the doctor...
And the wine.
The doctor ropes in the son of the family with a bit of money to do him a little favour while they go and break into the house of that chap with the funny teeth. And find the rest of the circuits up at the wall. The doctor then deciphers what the circuits are to a certain extent, or doesn't decipher them. That's what makes him excited, because he doesn't actually know, but he knows it's something. And then Toothy Man walks in, just happens to see them there. And but at the same time, Aveline, whatever her name is, and Donna make friends.
Evelina.
What? Evelina.
Evelina and Donna make friends and have a little bit of a chat. And... yeah, she's then tried because Donna is hell bent on trying to let all the Pompeians know that this mountain's going to explode and kill everyone. The doctor said, no, you mustn't do that. But she manages to coerce Avelina into seeing something, and she communicates with the other soothsayers, who ask the big lady soothsayer made of stone, and who said, "She must die. You must sacrifice her in the elixir of
Master?
Life." Oh, no, it's a different program. Yes.
You know what I like about the high priestess who's made of stone is that she looks like the plaster cast from Pompeii of the real people.
Yeah, that's what annoyed me, actually, because they're implying that all the people in Pompeii became stone. Well, they didn't. They became voids, and the voids were turned into plaster. So that was a bit disappointing, the way they did that. But never mind. It was still a good story.
The reference.
Yes, that's right. Anyway, what annoyed me about that, of course, she's got this sort of... the tongue's a bit pink. I would have painted the tongues dark to make it a little bit less like their person...
Oh no, that's really creepy, having the normal tongue.
Yeah. Yes.
That's really creepy. It was.
And think about it, Adam, if you had a stone tongue, you wouldn't be able to talk.
I thought there was going to be a link. When I watched this originally.
It's a fantasy TV program.
When I watched this originally, I thought there was going to be a link
between
them and the weeping angels, but I was wrong.
Lucius really creeped out by the tongues as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Lucius walks around with a stone arm, but he doesn't, you know, like lean to the right like he should, because that stone arm should weigh a ton.
Anyway.
Well, he'd be falling over all the time.
Yeah.
Well, he might, for all you know, be lifting a lot of weights with his other arm.
One of these pyrovile foot soldiers is sent down to scare them.
After a while, you know, he becomes armless.
One of these pyrovile foot soldiers comes down to scare them, but the son of them, throws water over him and kills it. And it's quite a good scene. And the doctor then realises that Donna, who was there at the beginning of this scene, suddenly disappears. And you've got to be kidding me! As she prepares to be sacrificed with...
You've got to be kidding me.
Bloody love Donna.
Yeah, Donna's my favourite.
She's fab. She's just real. And
yeah.
Favourite companion in a modern era.
No, Ben's not too keen on her. But
absolutely.
Ben's not too keen on her?
Well, me.
I was agreeing with Debbie.
We're talking about that. We're all just gushing over how wonderful Catherine Tate was. Sorry.
You're putting words into my mouth.
Yes, I am. What? I just want to spark a reaction from you. And I've managed to achieve that, so I'm quite...
I'm listening intently to what you're saying.
Sorry, what?
Bloody hell, it had to happen at some point. My God!
I thought if one of the six
hang
of
on.
Us did, we might actually get somewhere.
Right. what did you say then?
I don't know.
Was he being cheeky? Come on. I can listen back to this. Was he being cheeky?
No, I said... Yeah. I thought if one of the six of us stayed quiet, we might get somewhere.
Okay, I'll be quiet.
Having a dig at anyone. I was just thought if I joined in as well, then bloody hell, we'd be here until Thursday.
Anyway, right, so she's getting sacrificed while the Nebula watches. And very much in the background, it's a bit like an extra in this story. And just as she's about to get theatrically stabbed by the lady who Kirby said wasn't Asian and is.
Yes, I see
the doctor
that.
Appears.
I now agree with you. By the way, did anyone else get Mask of Mandragora vibes?
No,
from that?
I got very much vibes of a certain story called The Brain of Morbius.
Yes.
Morbius is another Marvel film coming out soon. And funny, I was talking about Morbius. There's a character in Loki called Morbius as well. So, obviously, the Marvel universe likes to use this name, Morbius. Back to Doctor Who. Is everybody still there? Because it's all very quiet.
Yes, I'm still here. I'm still listening.
I'm not here.
You're not
there. I'm listening intently.
So, anyway, the Doctor saves...
still listening.
Donna. Sorry, interrupting. In an arrogant fashion. Yes?
Yeah, we're listening. We're listening.
Yeah, the Doctor saves Donna in an arrogant fashion with his magic screwdriver, and then wants to have a meeting with the stone lady, like he says, with a creepy pink tongue, and then persuades her with a water pistol to show who she really is. Of course, she's pyrovile,
The self-filling water pistol.
Yeah. Self-filling one, yeah. You should say that in Emmerdale, the self-emptying bladder of the character that had been imprisoned by her evil sister for 2 weeks.
I think if you're imprisoned for 2 weeks, your bladder starts self-emptying by itself, mate.
No defecation whatsoever. Anyway, back to the... So the Doctor and Donna work their way down through the smouldering tunnels of Vesuvius. And then get challenged by the Toothy Man. And eventually, I'm going to move forward a bit more because there's this great shot with the Pyrovile creature, which the Doctor squirts his tiny water pistol at a very long range, some super powerful long range water pistol.
Well, the Doctor wouldn't just have a cheap ass little one, would he?
Well, he didn't sort of soup it up or anything, but never mind. And then
he should have brought a super soaker with him.
He finds this little pod thing, and inside the pods is this sort of unit which he realizes is absorbing all the power from Vesuvius and preventing the eruption from happening. So he knows that if that continues, the whole world will become pyrovile creatures, end of the world. If he lets the volcano explode, 20,000 people in Pompeii die, so he's got to make that choice. So Donna helps him, and they push the handle, and all the pyrovile creatures die, and an explosion occurs, throwing their little pod, because they thought they were dying as well. That would have been a bit of a sad end to a potentially good series. So they sort of land in Pompeii and head for the TARDIS. And, of course, that amazing scene where the family all sort of crowds together and the Doctor just walks past them, goes into the TARDIS, and the Donna just sort of essentially just say for someone. Because, I mean, there's lots of pathos.
Just say someone.
And it's brilliant. That scene, the acting between the two of them in there. I think people who doubted Catherine Tate's abilities as a performer, as a dramatic actress, would have found out very quickly in this scene what she's capable of.
Amazing.
It is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And the Doctor saves the Doctor and his family. And
yes.
Yeah. And then he thankfully thanks Donna for being there and realises he does need someone with him. And then we see a little scene of the family 6 months later who've, made the most of being saved and very happy.
Well, the boy's now becoming trained to be a doctor. Mm.
And, of course, their house gods are now the Doctor, Donna, and a little blue... Well, it's not blue, is it? It's a marble box. And that's essentially it. So, yeah.
Doctor Donna...
I was really.
You know what's interesting about that last scene?
Yes.
Is the dad's like, you're not going out dressed like that.
Yeah.
But have you seen the hem on the skirt?
Yeah, I think what he was.
Son, it's like
Kirsty. Kirsty was irony. What he was saying, you're not going out dressed like that. You're overdressed.
Oh. Yeah. That's a little creepy. What?
Saying that.
Well, for a Roman,
say that.
He was saying, you're not going out dressed like that because she had a skirt on that was above the knee.
Yeah, I thought Romans were a bit.
She was dressed in.
Not because she had too much on, you dirty old pervert.
No, it's not because of that. The Romans like to wear these toga things all the time. They didn't wear much.
No, she was just wearing this skimpy little dress.
Oh, well. Yeah.
The kids have basically swapped roles. She's now going out drinking and having fun, and he's now the studious one. So, yeah, it's basically just to highlight that.
Okay. Anyway, right, Brandamore says, sorry I'm late. I was saying thank you to the household gods. Good answer. Good excuse, that one. I like that one.
Oh, we booked the household gods.
Terry Niles says, I've seen that one. Oh, and Mary.
Yes.
This is from Terry. And Robert Vince Jr. says, hi, everyone. Hi, Robert.
Hi.
Right, I better say what I think of it. Right, the last episode ended, Partners in Crime, which I think I've watched quite a few times, I think iTunes gave it out free once. That was another excuse to watch.
By the way, I really enjoyed that episode, even though I wasn't on last week, sorry.
Okay, thank you, Debbie. This has raised the game somewhat. Absolute. Even though there are, romantic errors in the history and the... Like I said about the stone people actually being plaster or whatever, the story itself is beautiful to watch. It's It's got comedy in the right places, pathos, great actors, wonderful performances by Tennant and Tate. And all in all, I think this is a gem of the new era of Doctor Who, and certainly one of my favourite stories of all. What did you think about it, Ben?
Oh, are you sure you don't want to go to Kirsty first?
Kirsty first. First to Kirst.
Why, have you got something big planned, Ben?
What, are you worried that...
No, Ben is complaining.
Oh, hang on, hang on.
Because he picked... Because Adam picked me.
Are we being sore? Oh. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
I was being a sore little 13-year-old. And, well...
Ben,
I'm going to have to... I'm going to have to put a door slamming at the end of that particular sound effect.
It's not a door slam. That was a creaky bottom.
Yeah.
And that was someone making a really, really slow, unimpressive exit.
Did you say crinkly bottom?
I'm going now, and this door will be behind me for the next 20 seconds.
Well, it could be. Where you said you'd be here in 50 minutes, that could be your creepy and rather menacing entrance into the room to
I am on my way, by the way. I'm currently on the A3. I've been doing the last 20. That's been why I've been quite quiet. I've actually been doing it via my phone. So if I go every now and again, then travelling.
Right. And I'm surprised Dr. Phil hasn't arrived yet. I mean, he used to be do his feedback from his car. Maybe he did eventually hit the squirrel.
Do you want to know my views on this all?
Yes, I did ask.
Yeah, you off, guys.
The Fires of Pompeii. I watched this just yesterday to refresh my memory. It wasn't one of my favourites when it went out.
Yes.
And on rewatching it yesterday, to coin a phrase, it was all right.
The Ben phrase.
It was just all right. It wasn't. I don't have the same feelings as you, Adam, thinking it's one of the better ones.
It's definitely one of the best. I'm right.
No, I don't. I don't see it one of the best of the new era, or indeed one of the best of the series.
It's the best multiple Doctor story we've had in a long time.
It wasn't a multiple Doctor story because he hadn't been cast as the Doctor at this point. Seriously, I'm going to put my foot on this accelerator and I'll be with you in 5 minutes if you carry on at this rate, young sonny Jim. Now,
you must be in the middle of the Solent by now.
No, I'm nearing Portsmouth.
Dude, you're never going to get on the ferry then.
At a rate of knots, let me tell you, this is frightening.
I have a question before we go any further with this argument. Is Sonny Jim the equivalent to Honeychild?
Yeah,
got no idea, laddie.
No, it's more a it's more a telling off than a sweetness thing. It's a rascal thing. It's like, you rascal, Sonny Jim. Listen here, Sonny Jim. You know, you know you're in for a clip round the ear if you get called that sort of thing. You know.
Yeah, you know your ear's going to be cropped.
A bit of a put down as well.
Yeah, Honeychild.
In England, though, Honeychild would be a term of endearment. Too sweet to start off with.
Listen here, Honeychild.
Exactly.
I think Ben's gone past about six times.
Just wind your window back up and pull your head in.
Where did you get up to, Ben?
I undid my window a minute ago to see what you heard.
Yeah, it sounded like you had a lightsaber.
Because I'm driving down the road faster than any boy has ever gone. I'm on my motorbike.
What happened to this show?
Well,
somebody interrupted him, and it's not fair. Ben wanted to say...
what are we talking about?
Ben is telling us what he thought of this story.
Oh, is that where we were? Okay.
He said it's all right. That's about it.
Sometime today.
So.
Yeah, it was all right. I've made a few notes of things that I'd noticed in this episode. Firstly, the Stone Arm Man. Incredibly bad home security. I'd get that looked at if I were you. People can just wander into your house at any point. It's no good, especially when you've got some big electrical thing you're building. He needs to be looking into that a little bit, I'd say. Right. Secondly... This big decision 20,000 people to die via volcano or the earth to be taken over by the scums. It's hardly chicken or fish, is it, when it comes to a decision? I mean, you've got to give it to the doctor. He has to think quite hard about something sometimes. And by the way, in that situation, he'd have had the chicken. And finally, that scene that you all lauded, the whole say, oh, we got a safe one, if it's just a safe one. I hated that.
Why?
I thought, because Donna went from being don really quickly, and it just didn't sit right with me, and she went all red-faced and puffy-eyed, and it was I could have fast-forwarded it, and it wouldn't have meant I'd missed too much in my eyes. I didn't like that bit, but it was all right. I have now finished.
Apparently I've got to do Kirsty next, and I don't mean that in the biblical sense.
Oh. How are you still married?
I love my wife. She's very entertaining and funny.
Well, paint me disappointed.
Don't be sarcastic, Kirsty. You can get points deducted for that.
Oh. No, you don't, Kirsty. Don't listen.
Adam, darling, you wouldn't get have better. Any points.
That's better.
All right. All right. My review.
Come on, sugar lips, get going.
Sugar lump, let's go.
You just wait your turn.
Sugar bum, sugar tush.
Ooh. Now what? Deb knows how to talk.
Go on, flipsy flop.
Get on with it.
I'm trying, but I'm being bombarded. Anyway, it's a fantastic episode. It's really, actually, it's probably one of those ones that you could really introduce people to Doctor Who with.
Yes.
Because you get there's the box, they arrive at a place, they have an adventure that's kind of contained. Yeah, there's some linkage to other stories, but the casual viewer would never notice. And so you get there and you're
linkage.
Like the Romans?
You have a beetle on your back.
Yes. A beetle on your back and all that stuff. So yeah, it's a bit of mystery there. So that'll lead you on to the next episode. So, yeah, it would be a great starter story, I think. And plus, the effects work in it. The Paravile are just amazing looking. Especially the fight in the house.
Oh, what's going on there?
You've gone into a bucket.
No, he's gone into a time loop.
I've gone into a time loop.
Oh, what are we doing with them? Time loop.
Oh, now you're back.
Recursive occlusion. Someone's manipulated Castro Valva. What a space that. Sorry.
Oh, dear.
It's one of my favourite quotes. Oh, dear. Where was I? Oh, that's right. Pompeii. It's Volcano Day. But, yeah, fantastic acting. It's just a perfect example of Catherine Tate and David Tennant enjoying themselves as actors and enjoying each other's company as actors and just, you know, giving it this. There was a section in the commentary where they were talking about when they were exiting from their vehicle after they got ejected from the volcano, and apparently in the script they were supposed to be all like jubilant and like, yay, we made it out, blah blah blah, and they're like, Catherine Tate was like, do you remember every time we came out of here, we fought it? And they do. They fight. They look like, because they figured they'd be shocked and stunned and kind of like bewildered coming out of there. And it works really well. And the two of them working together obviously has a great effect. Best companion doctor team. It's just, and yeah, a lot of people I remember. I was kind of one at the beginning, but mellowed. It's, you know, her being a companion, but yeah, just, she's just awesome.
She liked it.
So anyway, I think I liked it. It was good. yeah, apart from, well, it's the best thing I've ever seen that woman from
Nebula.
The Marvel film. Yeah, her.
Galaxy lady.
Yeah, that's the one.
The one who always acts like a robot and everything she's in.
Robert Venice Jr. said, I think at the time that Karen was an unknown actress, not exactly unknown. She was on the Kevin Bishop show. She did lots of comedy stuff in a Kevin Bishop sort of sketch show where she played lots and lots of different types of roles.
I'm sure the Catherine Tate show had been on by the time she'd done this.
Yeah. I had, yeah, but we're talking about Karen Gillan, her role.
Oh my goodness, you actually called her by her name.
Stop being cheeky, Kerr, because I can.
That's what you pay me for.
Right, that is it. You were warned.
You get paid.
You really? Hey, wait a minute.
He gets paid in Jelly Babies. What do you pay, think?
If I was next door to him, he'd be getting paid with clips around the blimmin' ear hole.
Didn't win a competition. that was the payment that was on the lump sum.
Yes.
Robert Vance Jr. also says, hard to believe she plays Amy later on. I think they try to connect her to Amy as an old relative. They usually do that in Doctor Who, don't they? They don't accept that some people.
No,
can look
I don't
like
think
people.
That there was ever a reference of Amy.
No, no, that's Freema, wasn't it, when she played.
Yeah.
And also, Thingy from Torchwood.
Eve
Miles.
When?
Eve Miles.
You know, I'm really surprised they've never decided on a real good name for an alien in any genre would be called Thingy. I think that'd be very ironic and slightly funny. Debbie, what did you think of this particular tale?
This one, I love it. You've got the music's really good. It's one of the places I have wanted to visit in all my life. I know it's just a set.
I want to go to Pompeii. And I wanted to go there before you because I'm 10 years older than you.
I was on my way there about 6 years ago, I think, and I had my passport stolen.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I remember that. Very, very.
Yeah,
that was
horrible.
Did you get it back in the end?
I'll get there. I never got my passport back. I had to come all the way back from the airport.
That's a very annoying story. Not annoying.
It's a very, very gutting story, that one, but I will get there eventually. It's good. One of my favourite periods of history, so I know stupid facts about Pompeii, and I just love this because Doctor Who, you've got David Tennant and Catherine Tate, and they are just sumptuous together. Have you ever seen them in Much Ado About Nothing as Benedict? And, oh, God, I can never remember her name.
Yes, yeah, oh,
yeah. Why do I never remember the girl's name? And they were fantastic in that as a fighting couple, and just the whole relationship they have is really set in stone. Obviously, with last week's episode, you get them meeting up again, but this is them together. But it's also readdressing the Doctor after the whole Christ-like behaviour of the end of Kenya. This is bringing him back. I feel this is bringing him back down, you know, making him humble again. And it takes Donna to do that because, you know, he really does go off and mental every now and then with his being all powerful type thing. And it does happen a lot.
Time Lord Victorious.
Victorious.
Mm. Yeah. And it's like, no, she needs to be there. She needs to bring in the, not the humanity of the Doctor, obviously, but the, just be kind again. You know, just be. Be kind to individuals, not just the whole. Think about the fact that there are individuals out there. And it makes the audience think about that as well. But also you've got the colours in this are fantastic. The music is gorgeous. And the special effects are just fantastic. So, yeah, this is up there as one of my favourite episodes of David Tennant's era, basically. So, yeah.
Why, thank you, Debbie. Kirby, what did you think?
Since you have me after everyone else has already said everything that
we said all the good stuff already.
I mean, this
don't get grumpy about the order in which Adam does stuff.
Do you want me to flip a coin or something?
Would you shut up and drive?
Feels. Mary's usually last because Adam wants the drama. What if we've said everything she wanted to?
No, the thing is, Mary is often at odds to the rest of us. But anyway. This particular series is my
season
favorite. Your name isn't Reese, is it?
Well played.
This particular series is one of my absolute favorites. I mean, the whole Donna arc.
Dr. Donna.
And just every single story. And yeah, it bogs down with at one point, but it's really, really good. I love the story I love all the stories. The detail in this is fantastic. Yeah, there's some anachronisms. So what? It's a science fiction fantasy TV program. One thing that I did like, well, the doctor mentions they won't have a word for volcano until tomorrow. Actually, it wasn't until the 1610s
when
the word volcano was invented.
But that's still tomorrow in a sort of poetic sense.
But anyway, it's great. Just wanted, and I love the scene where they're out soothsaying each other between the two soothsayers.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a showdown going on there.
Oh, is that it, Kirby? Oh, thank you, Kirby. Well, here it comes.
Mary, hello, what did you think? I'm Danny Dyer, and this is Mary Britt. Blah, bugger. Mary Britt. Hello, I'm Danny Dyer, and this is Mary Blitz Langer.
He better not be the doctor, Jeez. He better not be the
Well, I am more in Ben's camp on this.
Yay!
I always think Danny's camp. When I saw this, I thought I really enjoyed it, but rewatching it, it just seems, I don't know, like lazy writing, oversimplistic things. The characters in this are written very well, or maybe the actors are just really good at bringing them to life, all except for Lucius. You know, he's he's got the stone arm, but he's also very stony in his acting in this, which makes him look kind of ridiculous. Because even the family they're like a typical sitcom family, you know, hapless dad and mom in charge of everything and the rebellious son and all. But they do play them very well. So I think that we kind of overlook how kind of stock character, you know, what kind of stock characters that they were written to be. And the Paravales, oh my God. I mean, they're too complicated. They seem like they're just kind of shoehorned into this story. And there's just so much about them that it's like my head hurts. Like, where did they come from? And why, you know, why can't we just, you know, douse them with water or whatever? You know, there's I don't think we needed them. Because like a lot of these historicals or like Matthew Kressel says, pseudo historicals, you know, they seem authentic until you throw in the monsters. And once again, we have another psychic cult, you know, all gathered around worshiping, you know, something that ends up being the monster. You know, so, you know, we've tread that ground many times before. I think that it oversimplifies the doctor's choice in about making history. It's like, you know, he doesn't want to change a thing. Everything's a fixed point. Well, okay, what's a fixed point? What is a flux point? This would have been a flux point if he had not landed there, if he had not, you know, done what he had done, because he actually made history happen.
Yes.
So all this stuff about fixed points in time, I think are just a bunch of nonsense. I will say that, you know, from all my negativity, the one scene that really stands out, you know, is I want to heap praise on that one stunning scene, which is Donna facing off with the doctor, because she goes through all of her reasons why he should save the people until she's like out of ammunition and she just stands there crying. And then he makes his move to do that. I mean, and the whole scene, unlike others that are done in the TARDIS, it's shot really close up, which really intensifies what we're looking at. So I think that pretty much rescues the whole episode that I found, like I said, you know, kind of stock written and too many, you know, typical things in it. I think that is what saves it. And that's what we all walk away thinking we love this story for. Is that, and you know, Catherine Tate, we all think, oh, you know, she made herself look so wonderful in this, you know, real serious acting, because she's known as a comedic actress. But before she was a comedic actress, she was a serious stage actress. She'd been with the Royal Shakespeare Company and other, you know, serious, and done a lot of serious parts and all that before she spun off into doing her, you know, her more comedic stuff. And a little bit of trivia here. Capaldi was given a really nice role in a Torchwood series called Children of Earth. where he plays Mr. Frobisher, and it's a very intense and serious role. Supposedly, RTD gave that to him as kind of a thank you, because RTD was a little embarrassed by the character that he had to play in this one. So Capaldi got his reward in that way. And one last thing, there is a Big Finish story called Fires of Vulcan that came out in the year 2000 with the Seventh Doctor and Mel, where they lose the TARDIS in the Vesuvius explosion. And so then they have to try to deal with, with local politics and all that. And it's a real interesting time shifting piece, because it goes forward and backward in time as the TARDIS is discovered later and all that. But yeah, it's a nice story, and it did influence RTD's thoughts about this story. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
So that means there's three doctors running around Pompeii.
Yeah. Essentially, yes.
Because they also arrived the day before the explosion, and yeah. They lose the TARDIS the next day. Yeah.
Thank you, Mary. We have Robert Vince Jr. asks for forgiveness from the household gods, and then Lillian Robin says, and that's why Mary is last. But I love her comments.
Oh my goodness! Thank you, Lillian.
I love your comments too, even when they're wrong. There you go. I'm going to say
she's
that would be wrong there.
She's not necessarily wrong. She has...
I know. I'll stop it, Kirby. Right then. Well, talking to Kirby, you posted a request for feedback in the usual frame, didn't you? Let's see how you got on.
Ben Shoveler, never heard of him, says, ah, yes, the audition episode.
Hey? What do you mean, that's the audition episode? Funny. Oh, you mean for Capaldi?
And Karen Gillan.
Oh, you mean Nebula?
No, I mean Karen Gillan.
No, that bird or whatever you
that,
you
that bird off the Marvel films, yeah.
He's like almost on the ferry, you know. How long does a ferry take to go across?
Well, depends which ferry he's catching.
I'm currently waiting for the hovercraft.
What, in your car?
You know it's going to take you at least 2 hours to get to us from there, don't you?
If you put a car on, that'll probably sink.
Yeah.
But he's probably found a time machine so that he can... Anyway, Robert Wince Jr. says, the one thing I liked is when Donna tried to understand how the TARDIS language translation worked and tries to talk Roman and it comes out Welsh.
Yeah.
And then he says, Fires of Pompeii, very enjoyable episode. Hang on, I got to expand this. We
close
see
your ears, Kirsten.
Did you enjoy it that much?
We see a future doctor and companion in the episode with ties to Deep Breath in the future. The doctor discovers that he needs someone to make decisions with him and not take all the responsibility all on himself. The doctor does help one family to survive. I think the guilt is what makes him look like the 12th Doctor later on. Also, another planet is missing. Enjoyed the history of the story. Music and background was top-notch. Tennant and Tate worked great together. And looking forward to the return of the Ood in the next episode. 4 out of 5.
Joshua Dyball.
Joshua Dyball. I wasn't overcome by this episode originally, but having watched it a few times, I rate it highly now. It's a great episode. I love the way this episode comes up later in The Girl Who Died with Capaldi, prompting the doctor to save people at Shoulder. A decision which came back to bite him on the arse. Still loving your show, by the way. I never miss an episode. All the best. And Mr. M.
Me.
Yay. I'm Spartacus.
Are you? Oh, I'm Spartacus.
I am, too.
No, it's not
how it goes. Your mum.
No, no, no.
I am, and so is my hamster.
Fires of Pompeii by James Moore Ran. Yeah, this is a multi-doctor companion mashup. We know already. Is it?
No, it's not.
Well, remember, the other doctor's running around, too. Seven. I love this episode on first broadcast. On first broadcast, but I am not such a fan of it now. The story does seem a bit random, with perhaps too many elements cobbled together.
Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah. The pyroviles don't quite work, and the whole scenario with the doctor having to force Vesuvius to erupt is too contrived. All that aside, however, the performances from all the cast are brilliant. The Sisterhood are great. Capaldi is great. Gillen is underused. The Doctor and his water pistol are great. And everything about those final few scenes is stunning, except perhaps for the Doctor and Donna being worshipped as gods. Not sure the location work in Rome was all it's cracked up to be fair. And the...
Caecilius.
Thank you. Villa looks quite poor. You know, that was a set. That was in Cardiff, not in Rome. I love the TK Maximus joke, though, and I knew the Caecilius family from the Cambridge Latin course. Yeah, nice reference. The spooky soothsayer's seemingly specific prophecies, perfectly predicting elements to come later in the series, got me all overexcited as well. Overall, a solid 7 out of 10. Next time, Old Red Eyes is back. That's all.
From the night before.
By the way, speaking of a different thing on the Facebook group, which you can join, did you see Lillian has a black orchid?
Right. Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Seriously?
Hmm?
Look at it. What? It's black.
Right, okay. A black orchid is a Doctor episode.
Yes. She references that.
Yeah, that's quite cool. I didn't realise I've been busy, Kirby. I hadn't.
You never read the Facebook group, which you can join.
Sometimes, thank you, Lillian. I leave that to you lot. right, yes, we've got some other stuff that came through, and we're going to start with this one before we move on to suggesting of other people time to absorb certain texts that I may or may not have sent out.
20 megabytes time for me here. Sunday afternoon. I'm going to go out for a stroll in a bit. Get some news of the fact it's not so cold out there. Took some time against a mini rugby this morning. No walking for me, unfortunately, to a lot of people. But, yeah. Anyway, yesterday I watched the Fires of Pompeii and did my ironing. And,
Is that what it's called? Fires of Pompeii and did the ironing?
Ones. I think the only thing you'll remember from is obviously the fact that Peter Capaldi was in it. Something that I didn't notice at the time, but I do remember now, is the characters in Pompeii, the family... Caecilius and Matilla. Now, at the hellhole of a school I had to go to, we had to learn Latin. What a complete and utter waste of time that was. However, the book series we had a family. And the mother and father were called Caecilius and Matilla. Now, I don't know what the children were called, whether they had the same name. I do remember that there was a cook called Grumio, because they had Grumius S. Coccus. Cocos est in coquina and things like that. It's amazing what bits you do actually remember. But yeah, I just wonder then, you know, was that taken as inspiration for the names? You know, it's, can't remember what the series is called, but it's just one of those things that just suddenly occurred to me yesterday while I was watching it. I think it just shows how it wasn't that good. I mean, the story itself, I mean, it really was more about, again, about the relationship between Donna and the Doctor and what they could do. And it's about the Doctor, the fact, you know, he can't change a fixed point in time, and trying to explain that to Donna, the fact that Pompeii is something that he can't change. But, you know, he could go back and change her past. But, you know, and then right. going on the fact he can't go back into the past of Gallifrey and change everything there as well. So it's not at all. And that's why, at the end, he couldn't save them. But, you know, because he couldn't save his own people. But then realising that, you can make a small change. You can go out and just save these few people that, you know, from what's going on. Good touch to introduce where the TARDIS makes you everything translate into English with the graffiti on the wall. And then when she goes and says, Veni, Vidi, Vici, and it's a case of, sorry, don't speak Celtic, you know. So it's, I think that's a good way of explaining it to Donna for newcomers who perhaps won't have seen that before, who won't have lost Plastico and didn't pick up on that. The premise of it's an alien coming in, it just didn't quite work. I think that's the problem, because it's just coming into Pompeii. Obviously, they're going to use the volcano as being the entry point, and they're going to come and take over the Earth. But why just Pompeii? With no,
I've got a master from Kirby, which means pause. Yes.
No, I didn't. All I said was it's a science fiction fantasy TV program. I did not say master.
Well, apologise. I thought you did.
The volcanoes around the world. You know, one of those have been doing it. It just, and the monster itself, the alien. Yeah, again, it just wasn't very good. It wasn't very well realised. It didn't reach out and grab you. So unfortunately, it didn't do a lot for me. I mean, what did was the way the soothsayers understood, you know, the new doctor was the Lord of Time, Noble of London, things like that. You know, where they picking these up from? I mean, that actually was very good. I thought that was really quite cleverly done. And of course, you had Canon Gillian there, though not really recognisable as a soothsayer. So, you know, not as obviously as recognisable as Capaldi was, but, you know, there she was, what a year or so out of becoming a regular companion. As for the rest of it, the guy who was the official soothsayer, I can't remember what his name was now. Gone completely blank. My God, I really am getting old. I don't have any senior moments. But, yeah, again, he just didn't quite work for me. I'm sorry, you know. He was quite fairly cleverly written, but it just didn't hang together for me. So I just didn't really enjoy it. The soothsayer gang, yeah. Sort of fairly sort of mundane, you know, typewritten sort of typecast rather kinds of characters, fairly bland, nothing much to them. And the family itself, though, I think that was good, you know, the sort of way they're projecting modern things forward, you know, at the end of it, so you can't go out dressed like that, it's what all the girls are wearing, and then he becomes a doctor, and of course the household gods are the TARDIS, Doctor and Donna. You know, so that was actually quite cleverly done, and you know, it could be quite a laugh. There were some good funny moments in this, I think, and perhaps that's what it's more played for. But all in all, it just didn't really hang together for me. You know, I've sat and watched it, but you know, if I was for a go-to episode, I wouldn't go back to this one. But there you go. Anyway, folks, I'm going to go out and put my Wellington boots on and go and have a stomp around the Surrey countryside. And until next week, Carla. I'll be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy.
Master?
Yay. Yes, Master? My darling. What would you like to say?
You know what they say about Latin teachers? No. Old Latin teachers never die. They just decline away.
Oh, hang on. Should I have had a laughter track ready for that bit?
I think we need one.
Was it the...
we do.
Oh, hang on. See if I can find something appropriate.
Can you find a tumbleweed sound?
Tumble.
Because that's the way you're only going to... You never tumble you're gonna land, land,
it. Tumbleweed. I haven't got a tumbleweed.
Tumbleweeds like we did last time.
I'm not going to explain the joke.
What? The tumbleweed joke?
No.
I can't find any tumbleweed effects. I do apologize.
Yeah, you don't need to explain it, Kirby. We got it.
I got... I have to... Because I'm...
I'm stupid.
No, you're not.
Oh, hang on. How about this one? I'll do this one for you, Kirby.
I thought it was.
Actually, I like this one better.
Wow.
Did you like that one, Mary? Actually, I know. Let's go the whole hog. Thank you. Anyway, everybody does that to this show anyway. Thanks, Kirby. Right then, where do we get up to? Right then. So we have some stuff that came through on the text method of communicating with the show via 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. And it landed at Deborah Melrose.
The Doctor and Donna take a trip to ancient...
You're just doing an impression of Yoda, then.
Well, I am looking at Grogu, so I do apologise if I did.
You did kind of go...
received it, I have.
Oh, that deserves one of those. Yeah, go on.
The
then.
Doctor and Donna take a trip to ancient Rome, and as usual, the TARDIS is off target, and they arrive at Pompeii. Still, same difference, but today is Volcano Day, the day when Mount Vesuvius goes bang. Donna speaking Celtic Welsh to the locals was very funny. Don't clever with me in Latin. Get some ants in, honey. There's a good man. Oh, and maybe a dormouse. I looked hard at all the extras and could not see Frankie Howard, a.k.a. Lurkio, from Up Pompeii. Lurkio! Love Up Pompeii.
That's because he was dead.
That's what my dad said.
Madeline Smith, most like her in the Up Pompeii.
Karen Gillan has actually got her legs covered this time. We'll see more of them later on.
Good.
More of them. Ugh.
Phil Davis is a very good bad guy actor. I like his portrayal of Lucius. I'm sure that Italian-Scottish chap who bought the TARDIS, Caiculus, would make a good doctor. Well, once again, the doctor caused the death of a lot of people. If he hadn't gone to Rome, do you think Vesuvius would have remained dormant? I'm not sure he would have. I wonder if he met the Hartnell doctor when he got to Rome. Next, how Ood, the planet of the Ood. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Thank you, Terry, Linda.
Thank you, Terry.
That was really good, Linda.
It made Ben laugh anyway, actually. It's always very, always there.
Always very good. Good.
You know you've done good if you make Ben laugh.
It's got to be worth a giggle.
Okay, right, so we got this. Oh, hang on.
Hello, time to make that podcast. This is Ian Kirkilius. The Fires of Pompeii by James Moran. Find me some ants in honey, and perhaps a dormouse. Donna in Italy. Those are some spicy meatballs. When the street merchant sees the TARDIS, it looks like the doctor is going to blow his top. So is Vesuvius. The doctor thinking he was in Rome is an in-joke, as the scene was filmed at a studio in Rome. The 10th doctor had his hand cut off previously, and here he rips someone's arm off. This is very enjoyable, and the guest cast as well. They should definitely get that Capaldi bloke back. It is certainly better than Frankie Howard's Up Pompeii. No, don't titter. Bye for now.
He says he ripped somebody's arm off. This is very enjoyable. That's a very
strange statement. Who was it enjoyable for? Him watching the person having their arm ripped off or the arm rippy?
Is that English? Rippy. Is that proper that's English,
technical,
Debbie?
That's proper technical wordage, mate.
Okay.
Well, you know, if anyone is watching Boba Fett, we find out that Wookiees do indeed...
Kirby, I've only watched one episode, so thank you so much for your usual pointless spoiler.
What a massive spoiler that is.
Tell him off, Ben.
Yeah, Kirby, naughty boy.
How do you get so far behind him?
Because we have other things to do.
Turn it off.
That's the whole point of streaming TV. You can watch it when you blimmin' like. Grief. Right, where do we get up to? Ben.
Hi.
Oh.
Oh, you want feedback?
Well, yeah, sorry, do you want a musical introduction?
You should make your feed if you wanted it back. It's
there you go.
And they go like this. The only problem with this today is that it starts with some foreign.
Oh, no, that's not fair. Alan!
And I don't do foreign.
Shall I send that over to Debbie for a pronunciation?
That's all right. Only one little bit. It's Medici chi e Velcanas.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah.
Medici, is that?
Probably. I'll send it over to Deb. So if he gets a point, if he get it right. Here it comes. Ow, just knocked the microphone. That really hurt. Sorry, listeners.
No, it's not. It's Medici chi e Velcanas or Caiculus.
Well, that's kind of almost where I got to. I think I did all right there. I think I will claim the point for that one.
Oh, go on then.
He was the doctor all the time. Dear 20 megabiters, the fires of Pompeii is, of course, a closely studied warning about the importance of fire safety protocols and evacuation procedures. It should be noted that whilst...
My finger fell off the button. He put that a little bit early on for me to get it ready. Alan.
It should be known as a number.
You're reading the
vlog, aren't you? Well, I mean, because it's like so different from every other week we do it, isn't it?
That's not the point. I have other things.
I think you'll find it is entirely the
I point. Have to produce this show while I'm blimmin' doing it, and that's very difficult sometimes.
And what a medium job you do on it.
Git.
You know I'm joking. It's not that high. It should be noted that while some might say magical fire
you lot around.
Have no place, I'm just ignoring you, have no place in Doctor Who as there is no credible scientific explanation for their sentience and physical coherence. In fact, such disparagers need to familiarise themselves with the fact that, Kirby, Doctor Who is a...
Brilliant, so slick.
CTV program.
Thank you very much.
For God's sake.
I know, he's almost as good as you on the uptake, Adam. He's learned from the master. We also learn that the 12th Doctor and his marvel of a mother-in-law both spent some time undercover living as Romans in Pompeii. All in, you know, I love this because it's really short this week. All in all, The Fires of Pompeii is a lively and enjoyable story which confirms the successful embarkation of the Doctor Donna Perry. Freed from the romantic imperative, we see a more traditional doctor-companion relationship, which makes a welcome change. Ironically, platonic though it is, the on-screen chemistry of these two leads is stronger than ever. Yeah. With the wonderful supporting cast and an exceptional setting, this is a show which is making the most of its high status in British TV to deliver a synergy seldom seen before. As such, it is firing on all cylinders. Do you like the way I read that as a counsellor?
Yeah.
I mean, I personally, I can imagine myself standing in front of a lectern reading this, and at that point, I kind of stopped and did the hand signals that the politicians do, and then paused so everyone would get the point. I'm glad I didn't have to point it out.
Yeah.
This story is perhaps one episode too short, as another episode may have given us a chance to see what both the 12th Doctor and Amy were really up to. It was funny is that I made myself laugh about 15 seconds after I should do. Next up, I'm really funny, but I've got a delayed sense of humour.
The good thing is it actually made that joke a lot funnier than it was. Which is probably what it needed.
Delayed sense of humour, I like that.
Next up. Oh dear. I was trying to tell my daughter earlier about the. This won't mean a lot to most Americans, but Brits will love it. The scene in Only Fools and Horses in one of the latter episodes where Rodney and Trigger are sitting down and Trigger's asking Rodney why everyone calls him Rodney.
Yeah.
And the answer is because it's that, like, because that's my name, and he says, oh, I thought everyone just called you that. I was laughing so hard here, by the time I got the punchline out, it just wasn't funny. Anyway, next up, Doctor Who and the Ood conversation potion, or Ood vibrations, bap bap. Expectations, bode, ood vibrations. He hasn't written all of that. I have kind of like, you know, freestyled around it. I can do that. Those are my thoughts, Counselor Alan T. Butcher Ricky.
Now you see, Ben, you said you wanted to deliver that in the way, in the guise of a politician, you know, in front of a like a convention.
Would you like me to
conference?
The Fires of Pompeii.
Hang on, no. You said you were trying to achieve this, so I thought I'd give you an appropriate sound effect to back it up.
Okay. Adam, you're getting confused. I wasn't saying I was doing a pantomime.
All right.
Again? I asked the right honourable gentleman to refer to my previous statement.
Anyway. Where else we got coming
from? Passes have got to be built.
Custard.
Pardon?
Rhubarb, custard.
I thought you said something else then.
Anyone who knows the goons would have recognised that.
Well, actually, speaking of the goons,
Kirby started.
Yes, it's a lot of suits.
What are you then? I'm a soothsayer.
Right. Right. Lillian Robbins says Spartacus, that is. It's Brian. I'm Brian. He's Brian too, and so she. That was the.
That's
the meek. Blessed are the meek. Oh,
yeah, I didn't hear that.
And then he went on something about shut up, big nose. Who are you calling big nose? If you call me big nose one more time, anyway, but can't say that because it's a rumor.
I'll take you to cleaners.
Anyway, Robert Vence Jr. says, when you do the news, how do you all feel about David's coming? We talked about this earlier, didn't we? I'm not going to do it again.
You might not have tuned in then.
Yeah, you have to listen to the podcast, Robert. Over the few episodes of the Doctor or the Handy Doctor. Anyway, Alan T. Butcher says, sorry, terrible Latin.
Well, hold on a minute. If he's only coming back for a couple of episodes, surely that would make him the caretaker doctor. Or a locum.
Master.
Oh dear, what is this podcast stooping to?
Master?
Yes.
Yesterday, Georgia Tennant tweeted, OF, what now? In response to this rumor.
All right.
Also, someone responded, darn it. You're going to have to change your name to Georgia 14-ant.
Very funny. Yes, good.
Oh dear. Did Adam write that?
No, it would have been funny if I'd written it.
No, that was kind of the point.
Right then, what are we coming through on the Doctor Who news page? At last, there's something to... Oh, no, there isn't. All it says is... Season 22 box set announced. The BBC has announced the Season 22 of Doctor Who will be available on Blu-ray as the next box set release, Kirsty.
I can't pre-order it yet. I've tried.
Is it a coincidence that Kirsty's back on the show when a Blu-ray set has been announced?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does
she have it on Blu-ray?
What do you mean? What? What did you say?
we used to go back and forth about who's watching it on Blu-ray. Yeah. Let the competition begin.
Blu-ray. I've got the Blu-ray for the one we just reviewed.
Right. Well, you've got the Blu-ray of the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast. That's very interesting.
Yes.
I am so looking forward to season 22 Blu-ray. I want this, and I love that thing they have with Perry.
Can we get this guy to run Doctor Who after Russell's done?
Who?
He's doing a bang-up job with these little... trailers for the box sets.
Yeah. Well, I reckon that I know that Billy suggested shutting the TV series down, but as long as people are still writing good Doctor Who for audio, I don't see how this cannot be conveyed into the visual format.
If I remember rightly, Adam, last week when you first heard that, you said, I'm quoting you, it was bollocks.
That's exactly what I said.
Oh, thank good. You. I thought I heard it right.
What is bollocks?
Oh, God.
It means it's really
nonsense.
Good,
that's
where
the politest word is nonsense. Thanks to you, I've knocked my microphone again and deafened half the three or four listeners we've probably got. Right, where do we get up to? Let's make sure someone said something.
Can I just add in a name drop for myself? Also with the, of course, the announcement of the Season 22 Blu-ray set.
I'm so excited.
It includes a new set of production.
Drum roll. Drum roll. We are right. So it includes. Can we lead in with the it includes?
It includes. brand new Classic Insult text written for the Mark of the Rani episode by Ooh. Paul Schoons. Yes.
Ooh.
He's a friend of mine.
Nice.
Oh, that's a class name drop. Oh, I just dropped the bell. Yes.
Plus, well, I like any info text. I wish they had info text for the current ones.
Paul is fantastic at all this minutiae. That's how I got into Doctor Who fandom, was with Paul Schoons back in New Zealand, and he actually gets basically hired by the BBC to write information for Doctor Who DVDs, and I think that's actually probably better than just being the Doctor. You know, basically being able to show off as a fan and go, I know all this stuff. See what you could be doing, Kirby. You could be doing this.
Actually, Kirby, you are perfect for this role. Although, obviously, you're referring to certain dodgy websites probably won't help you. But I reckon you probably got it all in your head anyway, because I've told you it all, haven't I? Okay,
hey, word up. What? Yo.
Yeah?
Word to your cousins.
What's that? updated special effects.
Yes, sir.
Big up your nephew. rocking with your niece.
What are you on about?
Big up the second cousins in the place. Word.
Yeah. Word to the third mother, brothers of your cousins.
I don't really know
sister.
How we got here, but we're here, Adam. I'm sorry.
What I was going to say is, have we talked about the Perry footage yet or not? Because I can't remember if we talked about it.
Didn't we? We did.
Did we talk about it before we started
talking about it?
What?
Because I can't remember if we did it before we started recording or whether we did it
after. Oh, I can't remember either. Oh, God, that's awkward, isn't it?
Can someone who is listening to the
live feed happened today. Before we started recording the podcast? That's the trouble.
But anyway, there's some just to recap what we may or may not have talked about before or after Adam had pressed play and record on his tape recorder, which I imagine is how he does it still.
Hey,
it still works. Shut up.
Don't put in references C90. That some people might not know.
I know, isn't it brilliant?
Well,
we're under the new
for the benefit of the viewer, here it is, the good old 20 megabyte tape recorder. Oh, I pressed the wrong button.
let's do it all brilliant. Again from the top, everybody. Anyway, so if you want to see this footage, it's on. Digital Spy. If you go and have a look on that, then the actual
it's on DoctorWhoNews.net.
All right, DoctorWhoNews.net.
I was just trying to be helpful, Kirby, and then you've got to go and do
Eternal
that.
Eternal Mystery, the collection, season 22 announcement trailer, which I'm not going to play.
No, because it goes off on a tangent in the middle of it.
Good. I'm not going to play.
My cards.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Right. So we can now move.
I tried to point out that they also have updated the special effects on Time Lash.
Ooh.
Yeah, they actually kind of look cool.
I like Time Lash. So shut up. Right.
Yeah.
This is Ben's favourite bit of the show, so we must play some appropriate music to back it up.
They will mention Who on Dakota, UK.
Good night, Mr. Walters.
What we watched this week. Now, Isabella and I have
what about
sort
the
of.
Sponsors.
Isabella and I have sort of turned Friday nights into movie night, and we go to the cinema. It's an old place where people used to go and watch films.
What, you mean you actually have managed to watch something other than Encanto? Wow.
I haven't watched Encanto yet. That's available
I'm
for
afraid
streaming.
In my house it's been on like constantly.
It's just been removed from the cinema schedule.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, Adam, what you need is some sort of cinema pass that maybe you got for Christmas.
Oh, God, here we go.
On the Blu-ray, they've got Slipback.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, that's the one with Jimmy Savilin, isn't it?
What?
No.
Which is Slipback?
No. That's in a... Yeah,
that's
in a fix with Sontarans, isn't it? Yeah. Which should be removed from all archives.
It was one of the things they did during the hiatus. They did a radio thing, and it's actually I really like it.
I listened to that about 15 years ago.
I used to listen to it over and over and over again. I was gonna turn it into a little stage play.
That'd be good.
That's all very interesting, but can anyone else tell me why I've only got one slipper on?
Is the other one with you, or is it outside?
Yeah, no, the left one.
It's in the grave. Oh, they do have a... Oh, that's problematic.
Right, anyway, back to what I was bloody well saying.
It wasn't on.
It's his shoe. I have his shoe.
Lillian Robin says, Encanto, I love Encanto. I'll get round to watch it. It's on Disney Plus.
Encanto, it's so brilliant. We don't talk about Blue. No, no.
Stop spoiling it. I haven't seen it. I don't know the songs or anything. Shut up.
Oh, anyway. Amazing.
Blu-ray? The Blu-ray?
Yeah, carry on.
A fix with Sontaran, so I don't know how they're doing.
How?
I know, that's problematic.
It is.
Problematic.
Maybe they can just fuzz up the pervert's Roman face. And, yeah. I feel sorry for the kid who was in it.
What have the Romans ever done for us, though?
Right, anyway, so stuff I've watched this week. I can always mute you, Locke. I do have the power over the Adobe Audition, and I just carry on talking. Right. So what we watched this week, I didn't fancy watching Nightmare Alley, because... Isabella wanted to watch it with a friend, and I watched the trailer and I thought, well, it looks okay, but I don't really, I'm not in the mood for that sort of film this week. So I went in there and decided the only film that I could watch out of what was available was a film called Clifford the Big Red Dog. What a charming little romp that film is.
You are full of surprises.
Yeah.
Just for the record, because it's audio, I was shaking my head.
Clifford the Big Red Dog. Right, so I'm just giving a little
despair.
It's a lovely little family film, and I think it's quite like possible Isla might like it. It's got Jack Whitehall in it.
I think she blooming well will.
And I'll tell you what, Jack Whitehall.
I love Whitehall at the moment. We've been listening to his audio book.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But Jack Whitehall does an American accent. I'd love you lot to vet his American accent. But the funny thing is, when he's obviously British, he's quite posh, and he's playing American or a man with an American accent. And then he does a scene where he's trying to do a British accent as an American. I thought that was quite funny. And, of course, the thing that makes it most watchable is John Cleese's cameos. He's playing a character unlike any other character who's ever played in anything, but it's just a fun.
He doesn't make any comments about
easy to follow. What?
He doesn't make any comments about art. I'm sure.
No, but what he does make a comment of, he's got this tent which is bigger on the inside, or as he says in the film, no, it's just smaller on the outside. Wonder where they got that idea from.
We've never heard that.
Anyone in the film have chips up his nose?
Possibly. I can't remember that bit. I might have glanced away at that point. But no, it's a charming little film if you've got young children. And I do like Clifford. I used to watch the cartoons with the kids when they were little. Clifford cartoon. The film's charming, but it is quite... You can guess what's going to go on, but it's well done. It's very much a pantomime on film. Isabella is not here to tell me about Nightmare Alley, but I can tell you that she was really, really excited about going to see it, and was still excited when she came out, and her friend Keith were absolutely overcome with excitement and thought it was superb. They want to see Scream, but unfortunately, they're 15.
Can I just jump in, Adam? Because I just need to jump in at this point, because everybody who's listening to the podcast is now being very thankful that there's that little button where you can fast forward 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. I'm ignoring you.
I'm still shaking my head at the fact you went to see Clifford. I am still shaking my head.
I do believe there's no restrictions on it. It's a PG, which meant I was allowed to see it. So, Ben, what have you watched this last week that wasn't Doctor Who related?
Well, I went to the cinema to see a film called Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Oh, shut up.
Do you know what? Actually, not a lot this week. We finished off... Around the World in 80 Days with old DT. New DT.
That a really long Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, really long Doctor Who just went on. Yeah. I didn't see Donna in it at all. It was quite disappointing. And there was no TARDIS. We'd have made the whole journey a hell of a lot quicker.
but this week, a hot air balloon called a TARDIS.
This week I've been mostly watching snooker, cricket. I've been watching loads of cricket. The Big Bash is coming to an end in Australia. I love the Big Bash. It's just so brilliant cricket in the morning. But nothing really that anyone would probably care about science fiction wise.
I've got a little job for friend of the show, Ian Kirk, to try and get a sample of Andy Nunny snoring on that podcast we did a few years ago. Because that might be quite useful for at some point. Because all I've got is this. Anyway, right, Kirby, what have you seen this week?
Book of Boba Fett, episodes 3 and 4.
Sorry, Gary, I'm sorry.
I also...
Come back to me after Kirby.
I also saw Encanto, and it was okay.
gauntlet okay. thrown down there.
Oh. It's amazing.
Too many characters.
I got nervous.
I think Sing 2 is going to be the same.
I did like. Why did they reference Bruno in Luca?
Hang on. Are you trying to spoil it? I haven't seen it yet.
Are you talking about Bruno Fernandes?
they kept. Luca's friend kept saying something about Bruno, and I saw that before I saw Encanto, which was weird.
Maybe he was watching a United match.
Who's Luca?
Luca is another Disney movie.
Plays for Real Madrid.
That movie. That didn't hit me so well as Encanto, God, I must say. They're racing around the town and a water.
Yeah. So that's basically what I've watched the past week.
Thank you. Can you come back
to me, because I've thought of something.
Back to Ben.
I watched a brilliant documentary on what was Sky Documentaries in the UK of England.
Yeah.
And it was called The Man Who Bought Cricket.
Oh, I've watched that one, yeah.
That's available.
If it's good, I'll watch it.
Oh, it is just
I watched the Bee Gees one previous week.
I haven't seen that one.
No, that's topical, that is.
Absolutely fantastic. 3 parts, only an hour long, all on Sky Documentaries in this country. All about Alan Stanford, I think his name was, the man who... a fantastic story. Basically, embezzled over $7.2 billion, of which he then took out, I think, $1.6 billion in his own personal bank account.
Don't tell me you're spoiling it for me. I want to watch it.
What do you mean,
watch? It's spoilers, Adam.
Oh, is it not? Yeah, as I was going to say, mate, it's like, was in the news at the time.
Oh, okay.
And after he'd done his $1.6 billion worth of stealing, he then got found out about it all, and he got sentenced to over 112 years in prison.
I'm sure that'll... he'll be out, with good behaviour.
He'll be out for the next World Cup. Yeah. But it's brilliant. If you've got any interest in cricket at all, or even not, because it's not all to do with cricket, it's to do with the business side of it. It's absolutely fantastic and really worth watching.
I may watch
That's
it.
Me done. Word Thank to your you. Mothers.
Oh, God, now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yes, you were talking about, the Bee Gees documentary. I did watch that the other week. Now, that is really, really good. I've seen a few Bee Gees documentaries in the past, but this one's really good because it covers virtually all their music. But there's
one where they leave when Clive Anderson tries to be funny.
No, they didn't show that, but they should have done. But, it just shows how well they adapted to the changes in music over the years, and a very, very talented group of people. But there's a scene in it, and this is... Remember, a couple of weeks ago, I watched this, where obviously they wrote the music for Saturday Night Fever. It was brilliant, and still played now, still fantastic. But it led to a massive sort of demand for crap disco music. And the Bee Gees got the blame for this. And one of the people blaming the Bee Gees and really slating them was a chap called Meatloaf. And it's very sad that Meatloaf... has very recently passed away. I don't mean that in a sarcastic way.
Sounds like he was unvaccinated and a COVID denier. So in that respect, it's very, very sad, but he was a bit silly. And
In that case, I changed my mind.
If anyone would like any proof, then look at Meatloaf. Watched the Meatloaf documentary last night, by the way, Into Hell and Back. Really, really good as well.
Yeah, I'd like to see that because I think he's an icon. Right then, moving on, Debbie Melrose.
Well, I've obviously watched Encanto about a million times.
Also caught up with
Book of Boba Fett. Finished Ooh. That. I finished The Witcher finally, season 2. We got there. And last night I watched BBC documentary David Attenborough, The Green Planet, The Life of Plants. And that was absolutely astounding to watch. Heartily, heartily recommend that if you want to just chill. But I ended up just getting sucked into it and just sat there listening to David Attenborough and watching him. It was just amazing. Other than that, I mean, thanks to insomnia, I've listened to about 20 audiobooks and I've gamed my life away. But other than that, yeah, and I've also watched a few things on Prime. There's been, there was History of Ships, two seasons of that. That's been absolutely.
Is that a documentary?
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to watch that.
Documentary. And then I've obviously watched a bit of Red Dwarf and Blackadder.
Excellent. Mary.
Well,
and Doctor Who, obviously.
Well, I finally made myself watch the final episode of a science fiction
fantasy TV show
for several years called The Expanse.
Tom loves that.
I read all the books and I've just been following the TV series. They've been doing a really good job of it. It's on Amazon Prime. And but they had to wrap it up early, closing it before they did the final two books of the series because it was just too expensive to make. And it shows because it's a really excellently made series. And I've been following the Around the World in 80 Days, which is okay. I'm not crazy about it. Other than that, you know,
I've only watched the first episode of that.
Yeah. I don't think it gets better. Episode 3, and it's like, okay, this really is kind of dragging
along
here.
It doesn't appeal to me.
Oh, God, yeah, man, did they drag that out. Mm. Was it, in the words of Alan T. Butcher, maybe 4 episodes too long?
I would agree, yeah. But other than that, you know, listening to Big Finish audios and doing a lot of reading, so.
Excellent. Have I missed anybody?
Me.
Go on, then.
Kirsty.
I thought I'd already spoken to Kirsty. I do apologise. It's Mary's fault.
Been watching two things mainly. The first thing I've been doing is rewatching all of Ozark, because now I wanted to rewatch it before I watch the new season because the new season dropped this week. So yeah, Netflix has new episodes, and I actually have a friend who I've done some theatre with who is in extra or something in an episode, so I'm going to watch it first and then they're going to say which episode, because I don't want to be like, you know, I'm going to be focused on watching the story.
You know that I haven't seen Ozark, but part of it was filmed just north of where I live. It's the some sort of restaurant or something.
What, like 5 minutes away, like you think we are from the main?
Yeah. No, seriously.
They were filming?
What, you are only 5 minutes from the main.
The Blue Cat Lodge?
yes. That's really? Only about 5 minutes from here.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Did you go by?
They're no longer using it. I think they moved on, but
they moved away.
They have turned it into a real restaurant, but they still have the signage and everything.
Oh, that's cool. Because, yeah, I wouldn't mind rewiring their dock for them.
Debbie, if I wasn't so old and knackered, I could probably throw a stone from South Sea Beach to the Isle of Wight.
Well, while you're waiting to...
3 miles? Wow.
Anyway, yeah, I've got a strong arm.
As I was saying before I was so...
Oops, sorry.
Before I interrupted you?
Before you interrupted me, but before somebody, you know... interrupted the rest about
where
stuff.
Where the night started, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Debbie.
What? The other thing I've been...
You.
Shut up.
Are you two done?
Yeah.
You might be. I'm going to carry on.
Oh, right. And the other thing I watched, it's a little series called Feel Good. It's on Netflix. It's a show about a recovering addict and comic, and she meets a new girl. It's got some fantastic new acting in it, some good comedy, some great drama, adult content, I should say. But it stars Mae Martin and Charlotte Ritchie and Lisa Kudrow's in it. Lisa Kudrow is fantastic in it. And yeah, it's a great little show. You can knock it off quite quickly. It's small episodes, but yeah, just really, really, really cool. I knocked it off in probably an afternoon just because I got super obsessed because ADD. it's not worth watching if you can't just watch it all now.
Well, thank you, Kirsty.
Not a problem.
Right. So Kirby wanted to talk about sponsors. All I'm going to say about sponsors this week is renewed sponsorship via Who Won and via
.co.uk
by Lavazzi. But we're still waiting on Heroes because when I asked, they said how much, and they said I'll be doing FantasyCon. So I said, well, I'm still in the process of trying to, you know, get it off the ground in regards to we need someone to have it that aren't going to charge a fortune, and we need some, you know, some backup, which would be Wessex Cancer Trust. So still, it's at the embryonic stages at the moment, but it might not get past the embryonic stages if I don't get the initial initial groundwork done. So we'll know by about a month's time. I can't speak to Lorraine from Wessex Cancer Trust because her whole family's just gone down with COVID. So I have to wait until they're fit again. So we'll just, it's in the pipeline. We keep our fingers crossed. It will be a different show than it was last time. But if we can get something up and running, at least all the cosplayers on the Isle of Wight will have somewhere to go and have fun. Right. Like I say, Lavazzi, always loyal and helpful, have very kindly agreed to carry on as well as so. Good old Who Won. So it's nice that these people have stopped by with us, along with the listeners over the years. And you lot, funny enough. So I'm going to have to finish now. Well, next week we've got that episode. What's it, the episode next week? Pardon? Oh, it's the Ood one, isn't it? Yes, yep. Planet of the Ood. Next
time.
That's a bit
Ood. But I've got to get going as quickly as I can, because I've got a funny feeling Ben should be nearly on the island by now.
Yeah.
There he goes.
Back in bed in the hill.
I'm in for you.
So
he went up St Mary's past mine.
Already gone too far. Oh dear. Careful, Ben. Right. So
I'm just outside the. Just
Ben, you can't drive that along like that along Albert Street. You're going to hit something.
Adam, that's not me. I'm currently stuck outside the ferry. The problem is, I can't walk up that massively steep hill because of my knackered hip, so I'm stuck here now.
Anyway, right, so I've got to get going. Anyway, so thanks, everybody, for coming along. Thanks, everybody, for listening, watching, taking part in the show. I better make sure Lillian hasn't added anything before we finish, like she did last week. No, she said, Encanto had a line, it's bigger on the inside, about Antonio's room.
Oh, yeah,
room.
There was definitely a Doctor Who reference.
Mm. Yes.
It's bigger on the inside!
So, see you next week, same time, same place, goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
The lover lover.
Apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system, public health, the 12th doctor and an assistant, what have the Romans ever done for us?
trying to stop the video, but I can't. I'm Why? Trying to stop the video, but I can't. Oh, because it's on my phone.
There we go. In control as always.
All right, let me get my phone.
Kirsty, you still there?
Kirsty's still. Oh, is she gone?
Yeah. What? No, I'm here. What?
There. Here. Take a look at the picture I just sent.
The Blue Cat Lodge.
It's nothing. It's honestly. It's
where? Where is it?
It's on the 20 megabyte crew feed.
Oh, hang on. I'm in the wrong window.
There it is.
I beg your pardon.
In the wrong window.
Yeah, yeah, quick, nurse, the screens.
Oh, I think Ben's all right, it's just, oh, that's on.
Just 1 minute,
I'm going to get the internet.
I've got to stop the video. The audio recording.
Minister. Did I see you
did
upstairs?
All that because that's all still recording. Thanks, everyone.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.